No one person can operate a residency program. A whole team comprising full-time employees, faculty, and volunteers is required to manage program operations and educate residents. In this episode of the PMR Toolkit, Dr. Sarah Turbo, Associate Program Director at Emory University, shares her insights into what makes a great residency program team, what skill sets and experience are needed, and how each member of the team impacts the resident experience.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
So to start off, who does make up the core residency staff and team that helps you run a residency program?
Sure. So the ACGME requires that one faculty member be appointed as program director, and this person has to be protected for about 20 to 40% of their time. That depends on the size of the program. The program director must also be board certified in preventive medicine, and they must have an active medical license. And the program director is really the captain of the ship. They're the person who is dealing with everything from sort of the high level vision of the program, the culture of the program, down to the nitty gritty administrative stuff and everything in between. So they are an absolutely crucial person to have in place. The next essential person is a program coordinator. This is also a required role. I cannot stress enough how important this person is. So the program coordinator handles day-to-day administrative tasks, personnel management, and they're the person who's going to have that deep and detailed knowledge of things like ACGME policies, institutional policies and procedures. ACGME requires that this person has a minimum of 50% of their time dedicated to program administration. The next group of people are associate program directors, and APDs are not actually required by ACGME, but many programs have them. And I think the role of the APD looks different across programs. This is probably where you'll see the most heterogeneity, but they often take on pieces of leading the program. So things like developing the educational curriculum, helping stand up a new training site, mentoring residents, things like that. And so the way I think about it is that the program director, you know, they're the person with sort of the bird's eye view of what's going on, but then they also do need to be able to delegate to the APDs because there's no way as program director to do everything you need to do without some help. So those are the people who are generally compensated for their time. And again, APDs, the level of compensation is going to vary based on program funding and other things like that. And I think we'll get to that a little more later. But there's no kind of floor or ceiling for APD funding and support. And then the other big bucket of faculty are volunteer faculty. So core faculty is a term that you'll see in the ACGME requirements. So these are faculty members who have a significant role in training or educating the residents. These are individuals who are designated by the program director, but they do not have to be financially supported. They're still volunteer. So these might be people who are rotation preceptors who also do additional work in the program, like teaching the residents in the classroom or mentoring residents on research projects beyond the rotation, things like that. And then the whole army of volunteer faculty who are preceptors, you know, I don't want to say just preceptors because that's an incredibly important role as well. But the faculty whose role is more focused to sort of their rotation, whether it's clinical research, frontline public health or whatever. So that's kind of the core folks or the beginnings of the team that you want to think about.
And you mentioned that quite a few of the team members are volunteers or even the program director yourself, you know, you might only have 70 to 80% of your time dedicated exclusively to the residency program. So as a program director, how do you help the core faculty, volunteers, and other team members balance the responsibilities they have to the residency program and their other work? Thinking particularly of, you know, volunteer faculty, how do you help them make sure that they're prioritizing the education of residents appropriately, but also meeting their clinical demands or the other coursework that they're responsible for?
Yeah, definitely. So just to clarify, I'm an associate program director, but I have observed, you know, program directors in preventive medicine and internal medicine. And so I think I have, you know, some insight into this, despite not being a program director myself. But I want to kind of take this question in two parts. So the first is talking about how busy the faculty are. And you are correct, Drew. Faculty are incredibly busy. You know, yes, you have, you know, 20, 40, 50% of your time that might be dedicated to the program, but you have a lot of demands on that other, you know, whatever remaining percent of your time. And so I just want to reemphasize that for PDs and APDs and program coordinators, they should absolutely have protected time for their roles. But, you know, the hard truth of being on faculty is that a role never fits perfectly into the time it's allotted. And so I think that's just something you have to acknowledge and just do your best with that fact of life. So I do think it is the program director's responsibility to prioritize and delegate tasks to the APDs that the APDs can reasonably do within whatever their protected time is. You know, you can imagine if an APD has only 10% protected time, that works out to about 4 hours a week. You know, you might not say, okay, great, you're going to handle our ACGME site visit and our, you know, reaccreditation application or whatever. You know, a more reasonable ask of that APD might be, hey, can you plan the didactic curriculum for the year? But, you know, again, it's going to be very dependent on the program structure, the time allotted, and what the specific program needs are. And then also just communicating, you know, I think that's the other piece to make the, just like sort of your busy faculty life work is communication between the members of the team to make sure that everybody's on the same page about who's doing what. So work isn't duplicated and communicating so that people have the independence to make decisions on their own and, you know, kind of saves time and like having to go back and, you know, talk about stuff over and over again and things like that. So, yeah, so it boils down for me to excellent communication, delegation, and time management for members of the residency team. And I think that some of those also apply to volunteer faculty. So for example, you know, rotation preceptors, they might have busy periods where they're not able to host residents on rotations. And of course, that's totally okay. But again, you know, you have to communicate effectively between the program and the preceptors to make sure that you're, you know, sending residents at a time that works for the preceptor. And then sometimes you have to be flexible because sometimes things pop up, right? And so again, communication is key. And then I'll just make a plug that whenever I am talking to potential faculty who might be rotation preceptors or working with our residents in other ways, I try to make it clear to them that preventive medicine residents are worth their weight in gold. Not only can these residents contribute clinically, but they have additional training that and skills that a lot of other residents don't have. Things like epi, biostats, analytic skills, QI, training in scientific writing. And so I think that I try to make it clear to preceptors that, you know, this is not just a resident who's going to work with you in clinic, see patients, sign out to you. This is a resident who can really tackle, you know, things in your clinic, QI or other projects, as well as research projects. You know, if you have questions that you've been like, oh man, I really want to investigate this, but I just don't have time. A preventive medicine resident can do that. And I think that that really goes a long way in helping preceptors to see the value of preventive medicine residents, which allows them to say, okay, like I might not feel like I have the time for this, but I'm going to make the time because it's worth it.
Right. And you talked a bit there about the skills, the unique skills that residents themselves bring to complement the teams, the preceptors, the rotation sites that they're in. But what are the complementary skills that you need within a program team? You outlined some of the broad roles and responsibilities, but you know, as a program director is looking to hire for a program coordinator or looking to recruit someone and dedicate some of their time as an associate program director, what are some of these like skill categories that they need to make sure they fill? Do they need someone with expertise in curriculum development? Do they need someone with a lot of experience with working with ACGME and accreditation? Do they need someone that has, you know, a deep network of relationships with various rotation sites? Mm-hmm. What are kind of the, I guess, more functional roles that need to be filled beyond just the job titles?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that there's, you just listed a number of really useful skills for program leadership to have. I think the challenge is finding people that kind of fill all of those. But the good news is that for a lot of them, you can train people in them, you can learn on the job, and there's faculty development opportunities. I really think, honestly, that the most important thing is getting folks in place who are enthusiastic to work with the residents and are willing to, you know, put the time forward to do the things that need to be done for the program. And so, you know, I think that Med Ed training is an important thing. But again, I don't necessarily think that you need somebody who has deep experience in curriculum development when they join the team, but I think you need someone who's willing to learn, willing to attend faculty development, willing to read some books and websites about curriculum development or whatever. And similarly, so I think for the APDs and for the PD, you know, a lot of those skills can be learned on the job. I don't think many PDs and APDs come in with a deep knowledge of ACGME requirements, but it's really like learning on the job. I think for the program coordinator, knowing as much as possible about ACGME requirements, about institutional GME requirements is really useful. But again, you know, a lot of that stuff is learned on the job, and it also changes a lot. So that's the other thing to keep in mind. I think a really important skill for the program coordinator to have is just being very detail oriented. You know, with these regulatory and policy things, the devil is in the details. And so you want somebody who is detail oriented, who will, you know, do things right the first time and communicate effectively with the other team members so that, again, work isn't duplicated and people aren't spinning their wheels. Or conversely, rushing at the end, you know, the day before something is due, trying to get, you know, the ACGME annual report done, for example. So I think, you know, in summary, I think that the core skills are, you know, enthusiasm, excitement to work with learners, a tolerance for administrative work is important too. But then beyond that, a lot of stuff is, you know, you're able to learn it on the job.
So spinning off on learning on the job, have you had personal experience with any tools or outside resources that as you've learned on the job or as you've seen other people do it that you found particularly helpful that future program directors would be good to have in their kind of digital Rolodex for places to reach out to or resources to point team members to?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, a lot of the training for medical education specifically is specialty specific, but I do think a lot of the trainings offered through either the American College of Physicians or the Society of General Internal Medicine, which are both internal medicine focused specialty societies, I think that there's a lot of overlap in the types of med ed that we do in internal medicine and what we do in preventive medicine. So I would definitely encourage looking there. Your institution also will likely have faculty development opportunities for medical education, for evaluating residents, things like that. So I would definitely look at your institution too. There's one book that I want to recommend for curriculum development. The title is Curriculum Development for Medical Education, and it's edited by Patricia Thomas, David Kern, Mark Hughes, and Belinda Chen. And this is just a nice approach to developing a curriculum, thinking through the steps you need to take, and making sure that it's robust and you know that the curriculum you design is aligned with the goals of that curriculum. And then in terms of, you know, things like learning ACGME policies, learning institutional policies, the ACGME website does have everything documented, and I think it's pretty easy to navigate. And again, because the things like the ACGME requirements are specialty specific, you can just Google, you know, ACGME preventive medicine, and it'll take you right to the policies. And then for local, your institutional policies, a lot of times the Office of Graduate Medical Education that's located within your medical school will offer trainings and updates when policies change. And so just pay attention, make sure you're on the listservs and stuff for the GME office to attend those trainings or send, you know, your APD or your program coordinator to attend that.
And I know you said that obviously as rotation sites change and the coursework kind of evolves through the year that a lot of the volunteer faculty and preceptors kind of drop in on and off the program team through the course of an academic year. Do other members of the team also see workloads vary quite a bit? For example, an associate program director, might they be dedicating, like, I guess my question is, right, there's a minimum allocation of protected time that's required. Does that have to be normalized through the week, or might you have an associate program director that's extremely busy in the month of October, dedicating almost all their time to the program, but then through the rest of the year is primarily addressing other responsibilities? What's kind of the level of flexibility, I guess, in terms of staffing the team through the year and, mm-hmm. you know, how the time is filled and allocated?
Yeah. So usually it's a more for people in program leadership like APDs, it's a more steady state of, you know, every week, approximately 4 hours or whatever percent it is that you're protected to work on the program. Again, the work never fits into the protected time. It's just a universal truth of protected time. And so I think, again, that kind of goes back to the communication piece. An individual faculty member's availability and busyness will change over the course of the year, but that's largely dependent on what their other roles are. You know, for example, if you have a faculty member who does inpatient service or consult service, those are going to be times when for that 2 weeks or month or however long it is, their focus is going to be on their clinical service. And they're just by necessity going to have less time to dedicate to the program. And so I think it goes back to that sort of communication and flexibility piece of knowing in advance when those times are going to be, ideally planning ahead so that it's not also a busy time for the program. Because residency mm-hmm. programs also have sort of a cycle, you know, and we're kind of starting to look in the recruitment season on the horizon. That's a very busy time when we're interviewing applicants, reviewing applications, in addition to just the normal day-to-day of running a program and supporting the current residents. Similarly, the beginning of the year, you know, end of June, early July is also a very busy time. So again, just going back to the communication piece, like saying to your APD, hey, if possible, like, can you not be on consults in the month of October because that's when we interview our applicants, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so again, I think it's very variable between individuals and between programs. I think for volunteer faculty, it's, you're right, they're usually more engaged when they have a resident with them. And then they might not have as much contact with the program on off months when they're not working with a residence. Core faculty, again, a little bit higher expectation for their kind of sustained level of involvement, but it still might be spotty. They might have rotations. They might see the residents when they come to speak to them or lecture to them. You might see them when they are there for a clinical competency committee or other kind of mandated committees that they sit on. Those occur twice a year, a couple times a year. And so I think it's just, again, very heterogeneous. I think that one challenge can be when the expectations of faculty availability, whether it's APDs, core faculty, volunteer faculty, just don't match up with reality. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's, if you're a program director and you're saying like, wow, I really need more support from my APDs, you know, again, always back to communication. But the other thing to think about is funding. Like, is there more funding and can you protect more time? This is obviously a perennial challenge in preventive medicine, but, you know, the more time your person has protected, in theory, the more availability they'll have to support the program. I'll just note that core faculty and some other specialties are actually required to receive FTE support. It's not yet the case for preventive medicine, but you know, for internal medicine, for example, they do have to be supported. So, but should ACGME change the requirements around that, it could really impact the number of core faculty and potentially other program leadership like APDs that a program could support.
Awesome. So my last question is just, is there anything else you've learned in your experience and your time working as an associate program director that you think it would be helpful to share for an incoming residency director, either assuming the helm of an existing program or looking to build a new program team entirely, that you think would be helpful for them to know?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing, which I've said a bunch of times, is that communication piece and kind of setting expectations within the team. A program team is like any other team. Everybody has different demands on their time, expectations, different personalities. And so just sort of making clear what the roles are, trying to have an effective communication structure is going to go a long, long way. I think the other thing that I've learned on the job is how important it is to think ahead. There are so many different threads of things that you have to keep track of. You know, you have to keep track of ACGME stuff. You have to keep track of GME stuff. You have to keep track of recruitment season. You have to keep track of what your current residents are doing. Are there alums who need things? You know, all over the place. And so developing a system to keep track of all that is really important, but then also planning ahead so that, you know, you can plan your, you know, CCC meeting in, you know, plan ahead far enough that like you can actually get volunteer faculty to attend because their schedules aren't fully booked yet and things like that. So it has taken a while to kind of get to that point of being able to think a few weeks or months down the road, anticipate what's coming up, but I do think it goes a long way. And I personally don't like running around with like a chicken with my head cut off. And so that helps me to avoid that feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think it just helps everybody go smoother. And then, you know, again, back to kind of what we were talking about before with the team structure, if there's an emergency, if you know, you dropped the ball, you didn't realize something was due and your APD is on inpatient service or consult service, like that's not a good situation, right? But if you can plan ahead, it just can save you a lot of angst down the line. But again, yeah, I think the number one thing is just communication between the team is the most important.